all of us have moments where we think something is going to happen a certain way in our marriage, but it doesn't, and then we end up disappointed. I mean, it certainly has happened to me and to my wife, Dina, probably her more than me, in fact. Today, we'll be discussing how some small adjustments in our expectations can improve the relationship. I'm John Fuller, joined by Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife, Erin. They lead our marriage team. And let's go ahead and kick off with a conversation that Jim Daly had with Dr. Randy Schrader. Randy is a professional counselor and explains a simple but important lesson he's learned from counseling other couples.
Randy, welcome back to Focus on the Family.
Jim and John, it's great to be with you again. I really appreciate you and Focus on the Family for promoting biblical values and supporting marriages and parents and families. Just thank you so very much for having me again.
Well, it's a treat, actually. And I was telling the team as we were getting ready for the program, you have a really good gift, which is to bring everyday metaphors into the marriage situation. So you make it rather easy, I think, to remember little principles that really do help your marriage, and we're going to unpack those today. And I'm looking forward to people hearing more from you in this marriage area. In fact, you've counseled thousands of married couples, so that's where you get your expertise from. You've got stories galore. What are some of those top skills that you need to make a successful marriage?
Great question, and it always begins, Jim and John, with, I think, expectations. The big
that's
E.
That's so true.
Expectations impact relationships. The habits determine the quality of our life and our relationships, including marriage. And so what happens before marriage, Jim and John, are couples are meeting each other's expectations over and over. And that feels good, you know, to have your expectation met over and over. And so they decide to get married because they want that gratifying relationship for the rest of their life. And what happens, though, after marriage, often couples stop expressing their expectations that they so much desire and requesting different things, expectations from their spouse, and they forget it's all about the big E.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because do you think in the courtship phase that expression is happening any differently? I mean, I think of Gene and I when we were courting, I don't know that I was expressing my expectations of our relationship, you know, any differently than our first, second, third year of marriage. I'm not saying it was effective, but it doesn't catch my attention that I was sitting down saying, well, Jane, here are the three things I really need from you. What are you meaning?
I think that's so true that before marriage, there is a goal to make the other person happy. And making the other person happy says, hey, I'm going to kind of assume expectations and meet expectations. And then after the first couple of years of marriage, couples fall into complacency. Complacency is the dreaded disease for every marriage. Taking one's spouse for granted, taking the marriage for granted, and they forget about meeting each other's expectations. And so then they need to request those expectations.
Yeah, sometimes expectations can be they're conflict-oriented. I'm thinking of Gene and I. One of our early conflicts, and it was around this area of expectations, was if I went to the movies with my guy friends, like I went and saw Terminator. She wasn't happy about that because that's not a properly rated movie. And I was shocked. Like, Terminator is just, you know, good old robot violence.
Yeah.
But that was something that she thought, wow, you know, I wouldn't expect, you know, a decent Christian man to go and enjoy that. So we had to kind of work through that. Like, what is appropriate in that way. And that kind of took me by surprise a little bit.
And that is a good point, Jim, because we all have our own dictionary of words and how we define them. And so it's important to make sure expectations are specific. And then you talk about what's reasonable, what's realistic. Are they godly words and behaviors that need to be met to make an emotional connection for a couple? And but it still comes back to the big E, expectations.
Well, good stuff. And Erin, you counsel a lot of couples yourself. While we can't expect our spouse to fulfill every desire in our lives, that just wouldn't be healthy. What are some good expectations, some reasonable, healthy expectations we can have as a couple?
It's so interesting because I have this conversation multiple times a day when I'm sitting with couples. Often what we don't realize is that we're not communicating what our expectations are. And where I'd even go back further to is, are these expectations fair for us to expect our spouse to be meeting these needs versus our desires versus are they something that we can attend to between us and God first? Hmm. So first, are we meeting the need that we're expressing or wanting, the desire that we're wanting, and how are we showing up for ourselves? But then it's going to our spouse and going, hey, like, I really wish you could assist me in this way. Like, I healthy expectation is, you know, that you value my feelings. But there's times that he's going to forget, and my job is to never forget how my feelings are.
It's been years, once a year, sure, maybe. Yeah.
I wish it was rare.
But when he forgets, my job is to not forget, because me and God can do a great job at caring for my feelings.
Yeah, as I was thinking about this idea of a healthy expectation that we should have in our relationship, you know, I went right to that our marriage is intended to be lifelong until one of us goes to be with the Lord. It feels healthy in the right kind of expectation that, that's a good expectation that we're going to be together till the end, is I like to tell Aaron, I'm with you till the end. I think another one, a healthy expectation is that we will have conflict. That's not a question if. It's not a sign that we don't have a good relationship. We're different, as Aaron talked about, and we will run into those differences. Thus, we are going to disagree and get into conflict.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll resolve that or manage that in a healthy way.
Yeah, and of course, often when people hear the word conflict, they think combat. And we're not talking about combat. We're talking about we're going to have differing opinions and expecting that we're going to learn and grow. And how do we manage our conflict?
I think another good expectation to have inside of our marriage is that we will share responsibilities for kids and the house and all those kinds of responsibilities in a way that feels equitable to both. And I'm not saying that we do that well. It just that's a healthy expectation that this shouldn't fall just to one person. You know, within the relationship, if someone feels like, I really do most of the work, that's not going to work long term for the couple, or it's going to lead to a lot of closed hearts or a lot of disagreement. So I think it's healthy to expect that we should be sharing these responsibilities. That's how we divide this stuff up.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast episode.
Yeah, and it's a conversation that needs to be had. A lot of these expectations are things that need to be discussed to make sure that it's equitable for both. I would say, though, that one that's important is just that baseline expectation that we're going to respect each other, that regardless of what you're dealing with and I'm dealing with, that we have just an underlying respect for each other. But it's also navigating that and talking about it when I'm not feeling respected. Mm-hmm. And again, that's my job to show up, care for me, and then bring it to Greg and say, hey, I'm feeling disrespected. And can we talk about that?
Yeah, I like that. And I think that it's healthy for the individuals to expect that they will have some alone time to recharge. So whatever that looks like for each person, that we can't be together 24/7. That's not healthy. So the right expectation would be that we're going to do some things alone to be well cared for so that we have more to give each other. That would be reasonable.
Yeah. Well, some great starting points. There's certainly a lot you can read about on our website regarding some of the healthier expectations and communication styles and conflict resolution tools. We have a ton of resources. I will point out Randy Schrader's book as one of those go-to books that really encapsulates so much of what we've discussed today and what you've heard from Randy. It's called Simple Habits for Marital Happiness, and we're making that available to our listeners for a one-time gift or a monthly gift of any amount. Support the work of Focus on the Family. Make a contribution today. We'll send the book to you, and all the details are in the show notes. And if you want to be on the same page and have some good talking points for your next conversation with your spouse, try our free marriage assessment. It's really easy. It takes just 5 or 10 minutes. It'll point out some expectations you may have in the relationship. You can compare notes if your spouse takes that as well. It's free. We'll link over to it in the show notes. We'll hear more from Dr. Randy Schrader next time as we discuss a little bit more about expectations. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and our entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.